Today on the Grave Talks, Door to Darkness, a conversation with Charles Caron and Eric Paquette. Eric Paquette and Charles Caron grew up together as good friends, riding bikes, exploring, and sharing the joys of childhood together. After growing, going their separate ways, and experiencing their own respective life-changing moments with loved ones as they passed, their interest in the paranormal continued to grow. Eventually, they reconnected over their shared passion. This would lead them to a life-changing journey, investigating the dead.
All right, so when I was 11 years old, Tony, I lost my mother. She actually died in my arms. But things she had said to me as she was passing wanted me to know what was on the other side. Now, prior to her passing, I had had paranormal experiences where we had lived anyway. I could hear like footsteps coming up the hallway. Doors would open and close. And then after she had passed, it amped up a little bit as well. So growing up, I had had paranormal experiences. That's what kind of made me want to get into the field. But I didn't know how to get in the field. It wasn't until about 5 or 6 years ago, maybe 7, I had bumped into my best friend who I actually had gone to school with. But we had parted ways after a while. And we reconnected actually at a Walmart parking lot. And when I saw him, he had his paranormal truck. He had the paranormal hoodie on. And I'm like, oh, my God, bro, how you doing? He goes, good. And I'm like, dude, what is this? He goes, oh, it's my own paranormal team. I've been doing it for a while. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, if he's got any openings, I'm gonna ask him. And he's like, yeah, I'd be at my house at like 4 o'clock. So I went to his house and he's like, the best I have is a tech manager position if you want it. And truth be told, I was like, well, I don't know how to run a camera. I don't know if this is actually going to work for me, but I want to be in the field, you know? So yeah, let's go with it. And from there, I learned everything that I could about it. And I love the research and I like helping people. And that's pretty much how I got started.
Sure. Let's talk a little bit about when you were younger and prior to your mom's death. You had said that you were experiencing some things in the house. Were you experiencing those things closely leading up to when she passed, or had it been kind of spread out throughout most of those 11 years of childhood?
No, to be honest with you, it was spread out. Okay. Like where we were living, there's stuff I couldn't explain. Like I didn't even want to go into the basement because, you know, I would hear noises and creaks and banging. And then late at night when I'm upstairs, you know, me and my brother could hear like walking coming up the stairs. And I tried telling my dad and he's like, go to bed, you know, stop, you know, making noise. Like he didn't want to listen to us at first. But, you know, when I was in the house all by myself, even my brother, like we would be sitting at the kitchen table and we could hear noises and we're like, dude, did you hear that? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, dude, I don't even know where it's coming from. And it was like all over the house, like footsteps, banging, clattering. And I couldn't even, you know, my mom kind of understood what we were going through because she had heard it too. But trying to explain it to my dad, he was like, oh, you guys are just seeing things, you know. He didn't want to kind of hear it. So, and then after she had passed, you know, it kind of died a little bit, but it stayed a little active as well, if that makes sense.
Sure. Can I ask, was your mom's passing sudden? Was it some sort of a disease or something that kind of slowly took her, or?
No, she had been sick for a while, okay, to be quite honest with you.
Sure.
And, when I came home from school, I knew something was wrong.
Yeah.
Cause my mom, even being on a walker growing up, she would take care of the house and everything. But being 11 years old and coming home and seeing my mom sitting on a couch,
yeah,
I kind of knew something was wrong. And, you know, That's actually a very painful day for me because she pretty much died in my arms.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we called the ambulance to try to get her. And it would, you know, for about 20 minutes, you know, I would, you know, rub on her, you know, mom, wake up, you know, and she would wake up and she would tell me, you know, leave me alone. It's the other side is nice here and I'm not in pain. And I didn't want to hear that at 11 years old, to be completely honest with you. And she kept, you know, going in and out of consciousness. And by the time they got her, you know, she had died later on in the hospital, but.
That's what I'm curious about is you had said earlier that prior to her passing, she was telling you stuff about the other side. Is that what you were referring to where she was kind of coming in and out?
When she had passed, she, when she was on the floor, she would tell us that, oh, the light's very bright here. And, you know, it's nice here on this side. And like I said, as 11 years old, I didn't want to hear that. I just wanted her to be here.
Yeah.
And I kept, you know, waking her up. And every time I do, she tell me to leave her alone or stuff like that. And that's kind of what fueled me to want to do, because I, you know, I wanted to know what the other side was like.
Sure. When you're hearing that from your mom and she's describing it as she's, you know, slowly kind of slipping away, that would make anyone want to know. Let me ask you this. Was there a goal or a thought as well of, well, if you can figure out how to communicate with the other side, maybe you'll be able to communicate with your mom over there?
Well, you know, it's you know, funny you said that because, you know, I lost my dad due to cancer 6 years ago. And he knew I had done the paranormal. Now, me and my dad had always batted heads, but when he, you know, towards the end, he's like, well, when I pass, maybe you can try to communicate with me and maybe I can, you know, and so he knew that being in the paranormal, like if I could ever, you know what I mean? It's kind of hard to say, but I've wanted to, you know, to know what was there and, you know, what the other side was like and only because of the experiences that I had had.
Sure. And I mean, I think I'd say the same thing to my daughter. I think she'd expect me to say the same thing of, okay, if I'm passing here, let's try and communicate and figure this out. Did you ever attempt to communicate with your father after he passed?
I did actually. Yes. And I had my niece bring over some of his possessions, about 3 weeks after he had passed, and we had gotten EVPs and, of him, you know, I said, Dad, hey, if you're here, you know, show us a sign or whatever. And, you know, he said, you know, that he was there. He did react. Now, whether or not it was my father, you know, I don't want to say yes or no, but I can say that when I asked the questions, I got direct responses.
So you asked questions that really he would have known, or?
Absolutely. Okay. I said, you know, I said to him, you know, are you at peace now, or, are you with mom, and, you know, are you proud of what I've done? And, you know, I would get responses, but, again, whether or not I know I was actually communicating with him, that's all for, you know.
Sure. What, cause I mean, that's a very personal thing and everyone will be their, you know, the judge and jury on it of you was or no, it wasn't. And who really cares? But when it comes down to it, what do you feel? Do you feel you connected with him?
I do, because there are some things that I did ask him and I got direct responses that, you know, to me, I think I did. But again, like you said, it is up for discussion.
Yeah. When you had that moment, when obviously you've been in the paranormal for a little while at this point, and you're an adult, but you had the moment, you kind of did, you know, you totally did the 360. You were able to do kind of what you set out to do, to have an answer or to make communication with one of your parents who had passed. What was that moment like for you when you felt, oh my God, this is him, he's over there?
I was overjoyed, and I say that only because me and my dad, and Eric could contest to this, me and my dad always batted heads. We never saw eye to eye. Mm-hmm. He was the strict old-fashioned type that, you know, we didn't get along. Mm-hmm. So I was able to try to make up, you know, 2 years with him. And, I mean, we got on good terms in the end, but my relationship with my father growing up was very hard. And, you know, we had made peace together prior to his passing. So for me, it was an overjoyed moment because, you know, I never got along with my father. Yeah. And he never approved of anything I ever did. But in the end, before he passed, he's like, I'm glad, you know, you found your calling, you know, and I maybe didn't ever approve of it. But, you know, if you do what you like to do, what you love to do, and don't let anybody tell you different.
Sure.
And I always told my dad, you know, Dad, I'm not doing it to be famous. I don't care if I'm ever on TV. I don't care about that. I want to be able to help people. And if somebody were to call me at 3 a.m. and say, hey, you know, I need help, I've got a haunting, you know, I'm going to do my best to help them, to better do research and figure out what's going on so that they're comfortable in their home. And that's kind of, and he was like, you know what, and you're doing it for the right reasons. And that was the first time in 10 years that I ever had a decent conversation with my father where, you know, he could kind of understand, you know, where I was coming from and why I wanted to do it.
Sure. And that's got to be very fulfilling to have that moment. Did you?
Go ahead. Honestly, Tony, it was.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you. I can relate in many ways. Where my dad's a good guy, but we don't see the eye to eye on most things. He doesn't understand most of what I do. But no. I can understand where, you know, there's still love. You still care. It's just you wish you had that feeling, and I'm glad you did. Did you ever attempt to communicate with your mother at all years later after her passing when you got more involved in this?
I honestly, Tony, I tried, but I never got anything from it. And that's the truth. Sure. And, you know, so.
Yeah.
I haven't since, you know, as of late, no. But when I first got into the paranormal, I made some attempts, but.
Yeah. Attempts were made, but they don't always get us what we're looking for. Eric,
right.
Eric, how about you? Same question. When you look back to the beginning of all of this, when you look back to the beginning of everything and where your interest in the paranormal gets sparked, where does it start for you?
Me, it starts as a young teenager. I had saw some things. I was with some friends. We were hanging out in their buddy's house in their basement because their basement was finished. They had TVs and stuff down there. Mm-hmm. And we kind of heard some banging. We were spending the night hanging out, and I happened to get up to go to the bathroom in the basement, and I saw what was some type of man type shadow figure, and I mentioned it to my friend, and he never said anything to any of us. And he goes, yeah, I see him all the time. That's where my interest started in the paranormal. Now, these friends that I'm talking about are what founded his paranormal team. And this is where we're talking early, let's see, we're talking 94 to 95. I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. And we all got together and just started doing fun things. Like we'd go to cemeteries. Now we didn't have no equipment because we knew nothing about that stuff.
Then. Yeah. Yeah.
Then as we got older into late 90s, we ended up buying equipment and started filming things. And then when the war started, and in 2001, most of my three friends were in the military. Mm-hmm. So they went overseas. So it stopped us from doing what we like to do, investigating the paranormal.
Sure.
And only one of them came back from the war after, and he couldn't do it anymore because he was in a wheelchair. Okay. So he gave me the rights to everything and told me to continue the journey for all of us.
Yeah.
And here I am today. I've been doing it for over 20 plus years. Being big in it since 2013 is when I started establishing everything, registering my teams and my team and stuff like that. That's where it all came into play. But the big thing was when my dad died. Again, like Chuck, I'm from 9 siblings, and out of the 9, me and my dad didn't get along. He always, you know, pushed me aside and stuff like that, and said I needed to be like everybody else, and I didn't want to be like everybody else. I was that one kid out of all your brothers and sisters that wanted to be different, you know. Sure. didn't like the party, didn't like to, you know, do the drugs or drink alcohol or any of that stuff. I was that one kid that wanted to do different things. Mm-hmm. And that's where me and my dad didn't click. Then my dad passed away in 2006. He died of a heart attack. And about 2 years later, I'm married. I have a son. I'm sitting in my living room, and I heard someone call me by my nickname. Now, not too many people knew my nickname, only my mom and my dad. That's what my mom and dad used to name me when I was young, because I was this tall kid who was like, you stood me sideways and stuck my tongue out. I looked like a zipper. That's how skinny I was.
Yeah.
So they used to call me String Bean.
Okay.
And only my mom and dad would call me that. No one else. None of my friends. I never told any of my friends, because a lot of my friends were mean.
Sure.
And they liked to pick on me sometimes. So sitting in my living room, and I hear, hey, String Bean, I'm talking to you. So I ignored it. I'm still watching TV, and it happened again. And sure as heck, I turned to my living room off to my dining room, and my dad's sitting at my dining room table. I mean, I could see him. I literally jumped off the couch, stood there in shock, like, okay, my dad's dead, and I'm seeing him.
Yeah.
So I approached him, and I had a 20-minute conversation with this man. And I told a lot of my family members this, and they told me I needed to go to the doctor's office and get my brain looked at, because sure. They told me I was psychotic.
Well, it'd be a good thing just to check out, just in case.
Yes. So my dad ended up telling me a few things. He says, I wish I would have had more time with you. Like, he came back to apologize to me.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had more time to spend with you, but you are going to do great things. You're not going to be famous, but you're going to do great things for people. You're going to help people out of what you're doing. I don't approve of what you do, but you're going to do great things. So, and I asked him, he says, I can't tell you that. I can't tell you the future, because then it'll ruin it. But he says, you are going to meet one of your old friends. You guys are going to reconnect together, and you're going to work together. And I'm like, okay, that's all you can give me. And that's all he gave me.
Yeah.
After that, he disappeared. But before he did that, he told me one thing. He says, I want you to tell your mother you talked to me. And I want you to tell your mother I love her, and I'm always watching over her. But he says, she's not going to believe me. He says, I'm going to tell you something that only me and your mother know, that nobody knows.
Okay.
And when you say that to your mother, she's going to burst into tears and know you talked to me. So I told my mom this. I told her, Mom, I spoke to Dad. She goes, no, you're crazy. No, I spoke to him, and I'm going to whisper this in your ear, because this is what he wanted me to tell you.
Yeah.
My mom looked at me in hysterics and broke down crying. And she goes, nobody knows that. And I said, and I was only to tell you. So since then, I've been in the paranormal. And in 2013, as Chuck, I bumped into him.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, me and him have been doing great things for people. We've done a lot of stuff, been to a lot of events, seen things that would make your skin crawl, that we try to tell people, and they still look at us like we got 10 heads. But that's how I became in the paranormal. I wanted to seek out what I saw and what I wanted to know more about and wanted to learn about. I am all about trying to get the facts. I want the proof. And I want to do as much as I can to put that out there. I am no scientist. I am just your ordinary person who's lived life as best as he could. And here I am today doing what my dream was set out to be. I've always wanted to investigate the unknown, anything that I could put two and two together and try and make it out. And, you know, a lot of people don't agree with what I do. Some people don't like me, but I let that just pass by me. I'm not there to impress anyone. I'm not there to become famous. I just want to seek out the unknown and try and prove to the world, look, this stuff does exist. Mm-hmm. And we need other people that have that heart and that faith to try and do the same for people around the world. Because I think we're getting there. We just don't know how to actually show that it really is paranormal.
Sure. Sure. I want to hear a little bit more. When you saw your dad at that table and you approached him, did he, obviously you knew he was dead, but did he look just like he did in life? Was there a transparency to him? Was there any physical characteristic that looked a little different than if he were really just sitting there as a living human being?
He was my dad. He wasn't the way he was when he passed. He looked like the picture that I have on my living room wall when he was in his mid-30s.
Okay.
But it was my father.
Yeah.
When I literally sat down at the kitchen table across from him, because I have a big kitchen table.
Yeah.
And I just stood there and stared at him. I mean, yeah, I had tears coming down my eyes because, you know, this is my father. I wanted my father to respect me for what I did in life. You know, I wanted that validation for him. So, yeah, go for it, you know, but I didn't get that. But just sitting there, I didn't know what to say. And then I asked him, what are you doing here? He says, we need to talk. And I'm like, okay. So I literally smacked my arm to see if I was sleeping.
Yeah.
And then I pinched myself. Nobody else is in the home. My wife's at work. My son's at my in-laws. And my mom was upstairs in her apartment sleeping. So I'm just confused. So I let my dad talk. I mean, it was kind of scary and spooky. It was like I was in a movie. It was the thrill though. I mean, I had the chills. I mean, the hairs on my back were just standing straight up. I mean, I didn't know how to take in all that aggression just sitting right there at that table, things that I wanted to say to my father about how I felt couldn't come out of me. I just wanted to hear what the man had to say.
Sure.
You know, and he told me, and I even giggled and laughed, you know, that you're nuts. But I'm sitting here saying to myself, but I'm talking to myself, this is not real. It's a dream, but it really wasn't. But the things he said to me just, you know, within that short 20 minutes just blew my mind. I mean, I saw him twice.
Yeah.
That was it. Saw him twice. The second time I thought he was coming back from my mom, and he just told me he was here for some family members. And sure as heck, 3 weeks later, I lost my aunt and my uncle. But that was it. You know, he didn't warn me anything. He just told me this is what's going to happen to you. And here we are today, you know, literally. Yeah. I bumped into Chuck 7 years later after that moment. And for those 7 years, I'm still doing the paranormal. I'm like, I ain't bumping into nobody. I ain't meeting no old friend. I ain't going to do nothing. Because me and Chuck grew up together. We went to school together. And then he went his separate way. He went to Florida.
Yeah.
You know? And then he moved back up. I didn't even know.
Did you know,
he said he was trying to find me, trying to get a hold of me. He could, and we just happened to bump into each other in a parking lot at Walmart. But that's coincidence, because that's what my dad told me. But at first, when that happened, about a year and a half later, I told Chuck this story. And he's like, what? What are you, nuts? And I'm like, no, my dad said I was going to meet someone that was going to work with me very, very close. And you're the only one besides who I have on my team that is just my family as a friend. But I don't consider Chuck my friend. I consider Chuck my brother.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the one. The story came true. My father told me what I was going to do and set out to do. My father was a very old-fashioned person. My father was very set on standards. It was his way or the highway.
Yeah.
And I chose the highway because I believed he was wrong. And most teenagers set out to do that when they're young. What kid doesn't rebel their parent, you know? And to this day, when I tell people this story and they're all just sitting there, you know, oh, they want to hear something.
Yeah.
And they're all looking at me like, what is this guy, nuts? You know, no way, that never happened. I'm like, and I would tell anybody ever here, talk to anybody of the family member. Did you ever see anything of the afterlife or anything like that? You know, and most of them be like, no, just noises. Well, how do you know that's a ghost? How do you know that's just a house making the noise?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why we're listening to your story. Do we believe it happened to you? Maybe. Or are you just making this up for our entertainment? So you're going to get those.
Sure.
Those people that are not into that type of stuff, and you try to convince somebody who's never heard or seen, are going to be impossible to to get them to realize facts. Things can happen in life. Things do happen after death.
And it's not worth the energy sometimes when someone's already said and like, nope, 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 nope. Okay, well, if it happens to you, then you'll get it. If not, cool. It doesn't matter that you believe me or not.
And that's what I tell people. Yeah. They're all like, well, I want to do the paranormal. I want to do this. How do I do it? And I says, well, get yourself some devices. Go sit in a cemetery somewhere and just listen. If you want to know what the paranormal is all about, you have to seek it yourself. Mm-hmm. I can tell you stories, but you're not going to believe them unless you go do it yourself.
Sure. Can I ask, and you don't have to answer, but can you tell me what he said that you whispered to your mother?
I'd rather not, because it was something that happened to my mom.
Okay.
It's kind of personal.
Sure.
And a lot of people have asked me that, and I didn't want to tell them that, because I promised my mom I wouldn't say it to anyone. And
sure.
I did. And my dad says only you can tell your mother, no one else.
Okay.
And I kept my word since then. And everybody's asking, you can ask Chuck. They're all trying to tear me up to find out what that one little answer was that I told my mother. And I says, I told my dad when he told me, I wouldn't tell anyone except my mother.
Were you surprised by what he said to you?
I was actually pretty surprised, because I never thought,
okay,
you know,
yeah,
it was weird. I didn't know that. And out of all my other siblings, it was just, I'm the only one that knows it.
Yeah.
And to this day, I'm going to be taking it to my grave.
Sure.
My mom's still alive. My mom's still alive today. She's in her 80s.
Yeah.
So she's going to take that to her grave.
That would be interesting. Like, what if he told you something that was completely made up, that your mom really didn't have nothing to do? It's like, she was an elephant trainer when she was a child. You know? Like, what? Who told you that? It's like, like, Dad, I was never an elephant trainer. What the hell are you talking about?
Exactly.
Do you think this is an interesting one, and both of you can answer. But Eric, I'll go to you first, since you kind of brought this up, because your dad seemed to be able to look into the future or have knowledge of the future after his passing. And I've always wondered about that, as far as abilities that we get when we're on the other side. Sometimes it seems as though there really isn't many extra abilities that we have, other than we're dead and, you know, we can somehow try to figure out how to communicate. But then it seems like sometimes more advanced energies or entities or things maybe that weren't human would have that ability of looking into the future, but not necessarily the ones that were once living, our family, our friends and such. With that experience, it kind of does point to that he had knowledge of what was to come for you.
Yeah, it was strange. It's strange because everyone says, don't look to your future. Live day to day.
Yeah.
You wake up. If you wake up tomorrow, that's a good day. That's what my dad and my grandfather always used to say. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's not here. Tomorrow don't exist.
Yeah.
But it's in some strange form way, like you just, something's got to exist because, you know, something has to be, you know, how would my dad know this, you know? And again, am I crazy that I really see this? But unfortunately, I saw it with my eyes and I couldn't prove to anyone else.
Sure.
There was only one other family member that had come to me, and that was my Uncle Ernie. Him and my dad used to do things when they were a kid, and he was doing this, and he was having such a hard day, and then all of a sudden he said he heard someone say, "Ernie, you can do this." And my uncle said it sounded like his brother, meaning my dad. And he ended up being able to accomplish what he was doing. And he ended up doing it. And to this day, he's fine. And he's the only one out of the family. Now, my dad had 15 other siblings besides him.
Wow.
There were 8 girls and a total of 7 boys, you know. And there's only 3 of them left.
Yeah.
And every now and then my uncle will come from California and he'll sit down, and he's about God. And he'll sit down and talk to me. He goes, "I can still remember. I can still feel that breath. I can still hear that sound." And he goes, "And I love your story. I want you to tell me." And every time he comes up, he wants me to tell him the story of me meeting my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tell him, and he was like amazed. And he just come up a month ago. And he sat down at the table. He says, "Can you tell me that story again about my brother?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "Sure." And he always listens to me. And he goes, "Every time you talk to me, the story is the same." He says, "It never changes. You always tell me it the exact same way." And he says, "I believe you." And those are things. And I told him, he told my future. And my uncle's like, "Well, we don't know the future." And he goes, "Only God does." And I'm like, "Well."
And apparently our dead relatives too.
Yeah. And me, I'm the opposite. And my uncle hates, he loves me, but he hates that I say this. I says, "Well, I'm born in a society where we think God is just man-made."
Mm-hmm.
I'm from a society where people say we have hell, we have heaven, and then there's the middle. To me, I'm an atheist, mm-hmm. but at the same time, as an atheist, I want to set out for those goals to make sure they're real. When me and Chuck go out into the field, Chuck's the guy who's excited. Chuck's mm-hmm. the guy who's got the drive for. He's like the wild coyote. He is just gone. He sets foot right into there and he wants to go, and we click. And that's what makes it funny about us working together, because I'm that guy that's going to go in there and tear it apart
mm-hmm.
and say it's not real. That's, we're the opposites. But when we put our minds together as a team, we'll sit down and we'll really look at the facts, and then we'll make our decision together, not alone, not separate. Mm-hmm. Do I believe there's a future? Yes. What does it hold for us? I don't know. My dad told me stuff that was going to happen. He didn't say when, how, or when it was going to start. He just said I was going to meet an old friend and we were going to set out to help people and do things. So here I am today. I'm talking on the phone to you and describing to you how my life was growing up, knowing the paranormal, and I'm going to keep doing it until I can no longer walk or talk anymore.
Sure. It's an interesting one. I'd love to hear your perspective on this, because I, being an atheist, and I fully agree, you can get into this. You don't have to have necessarily religion behind you for this to all make sense. That just seems to be something that a lot of people, a construct that they add into it, and if that's what they want, sure, but it doesn't mean that, ghosts don't exist, or that energy doesn't go somewhere or do something. What's your opinion on situations where, and it gets thrown around so often, where it's demonic, it's this or that? Do you believe in all of your studies, your research, that there is something evil out there, something that one may refer to as demonic, or when we talk about really dark things that just torment people, is it the same as the living? There's plenty of human beings who torment the living and would be considered evil when they're alive. Is it just the same in death for those people?
Me, I put it this way.
Yeah.
If ghosts, if spirits, ghosts, poltergeists, demons, if a ghost exists, then a demon has to exist in some way or another in the world. A poltergeist, same thing.
Okay.
Do I believe everything in the world is demonic? No, I can't prove that.
Sure.
Have I ever met or seen a demon? No, can't prove that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't have the skills to say that that's a demon.
Sure.
If I go to a place to investigate and they're telling me their house is demonic, I'm going to let them know that is very rare. But I'm not saying you're not having those issues.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would seek on my own terms people that I know that demonologist stuff. And I will say, look, these people are having, we investigated the home, we didn't get nothing. They're still contacting us, telling us they still have these issues. I don't know if it's them having the psychological issues, thinking that they have a demonic spirit in their house. I can't prove that either. So I'm calling upon this person to go out and see if they can help these people.
Yeah.
As me, myself, I've never experienced a demon. But I have experienced something besides seeing my father that I can't even put a pin on. I can't even explain it to myself how this happened to me. To this day, was it caused by a demon? I don't know. Did something possess me to see those things? To this day, I do not know. But I was able to come back to reality knowing, okay, I went somewhere, but I don't know how I got there. But I'm back here now. And it's weird. But in my opinion, are demons real? They have to be. If ghosts are real, then a demon has to be. But from the knowledges and the stuff I have, poltergeists, demons can be real, but poltergeists, is, you know, from what I've heard and seen and through other people have told me, those things had never existed. They just became what they were. They were never in a human form. And that's for me listening to other people and doing research and stuff like that. Demonic possessions. I mean, there's millions of ways to try to understand how these things work, and you'll never be able to figure it out.
That wraps up the first part of our conversation with Charles and Eric in part two. What happened to Eric that was possibly demonic that blew his mind at Cabin 360? What was the life-changing experience that Charles experienced at Cabin 360? What is the history as well? And does Eric and Charles believe that at times people may be possessed when they perform horrific acts in life to those around them? Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.